Conversation 1. Don't let the culture define you. Chapter 1. A Time for Everything. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 through 28 say, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. Most every mother remembers an incident beyond the It's a Boy announcement that marked their sudden induction into the Boy Mama Club. For me, initiation day began with special instructions from a nurse in the hospital on how to clean the navel area and, you know, it. When I tried to follow her instructions, I was awarded with a golden waterworks display and a chuckle from the nurse who responded to the show with, "Welcome to the wonderful world of boys." It was almost as if my new son was sending out an advance warning. Get ready, lady, you ain't seen nothing yet. And bless my heart, I hadn't. I didn't have a clue about the world of boys until I found myself smack dab in the middle of raising my own little bundle of testosterone. And I wouldn't trade the experience of raising my two boys for anything. In fact, they both captured my heart from day one. Nothing compares to raising boys. Recently, I was going through a box of keepsake items and stumbled upon a letter I received from my youngest son, Hayden, when he was away at camp for a week. He was 9 years old at the time, and it was his first summer camp experience. He had begged to go to summer camp like his two older siblings, and finally I relented and signed the boy up. His older brother and sister had been 2 years older when they experienced their first summer camp, so I went back and forth after turning the paperwork in, wondering if I had made the right decision. When the time came to drop him off, I could hardly tear myself away. He looked so small next to some of the older campers. Of course, he was excited and could hardly wait for his father and me to leave. I had packed paper and self-addressed stamped envelopes in his trunk and gave him strict instructions to write home at least every other day. Yes, to assuage my own worries. I worried myself sick during the week that followed and checked the mailbox daily, hoping for a letter from him. I waited and I waited and I waited. Finally, toward the end of the week, I received the one and only camp letter I would ever receive from my son during all his camp years combined. Mind you, I discovered this rare camp letter from my son in the keepsake box that contained a sea of camp letters from my daughter. In her letter, she provided detailed descriptions of her days and full-length bios on each new friend made. As a bonus, she often added stickers or doodle drawings to jazz up her letters. Needless to say, Hayden's camp letter did not follow his sister's previously established protocol. Following is a transcript of my much-anticipated camp letter from Hayden. Dear parents, we had bean burritos for lunch today, and Andrew and I couldn't stop tooting, so we started a tooting contest in our cabin during bunk time. I won. Camp is fun. Love, Hayden. That's it. No details about canoeing, horseback riding, or roasting marshmallows by a campfire. Just tooting, which for the record, he could have done at home, for free. On the upside, at least the letter brought an end to my worry. Clearly, the little lad wasn't crying himself to sleep each night. Tooting himself to sleep, maybe, but not crying. For the record, on pickup day, I raced toward him and was greeted with, "Mommy, I love camp. Can I go for 2 weeks next summer?" When we returned home, I opened his trunk to begin the post-camp laundry wash-a-thon, and to my absolute horror, found an unused bar of soap along with 5 of the 7 pre-matched and neatly folded outfits still pre-matched and neatly folded.